Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to Hi FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SM Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Welcome to the SM Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm coming to you live from our studios in Fairmount. And what a beautiful couple of days I have had this past week. A week of simcha, love, togetherness, and just pure joy as we celebrated my son Darren and his gorgeous wife Hannah's wedding. And so as most of you know, I had a hip replacement last year, so I really was panicking that those disco legs of mine weren't going to act to their full potential, but they did. I did not stop for 7 hours. So if I didn't talk to all of you that were there personally, one-on-one, and asked you if you're having a wonderful time, it was because I was having such a wonderful time. So my daughter-in-law in London is actually a wedding planner. And for her, this must have been one of the hardest things to pull off, just arriving just a few days before the flawless function. So last year, we actually searched on, as only my gorgeous daughter-in-law could, I think about 10 or 12 farms in Stellenbosch and around that area, could find nothing. And finally, the last place we go to, a place that Mills never heard of. And you know, Mills, the famous caterer in, kosher caterer in Cape Town. And we found this place called Eureka, spelled E-U-R-E-K-A. And what a magnificent place it was. Now, my son hadn't seen it. Just the three of us had seen it the year before. And it was just, he was blown away. Now, to make him happy, it's not so easy. He is also a bit of a perfectionist. So imagine bringing all that wedding stuff for the wedding, for the groomsmen, the shirts, and God bless my son, I don't know how many groomsmen he had. pocket clips, yarmulkes, gift bags, fans, all sorts of things that I think everybody who came from London had an extra little bag just full of stuff for the big night. So the wedding was, of course, on the Thursday night, and as usual, Merle, the caterer, didn't let us down. Her food, as most know, was superb, as always. The salads and just new creative ideas. I know that my daughter-in-law worked closely with her to try and get something new, some different ideas. And she had boxes with dips, I would say, at the bottom. So there was eggplant dip, and there was hummus and a bit of tahina, and all the vegetables in these little farm boxes all stuck up. So they were all in the dip, and there were baby carrots and baby this and cucumber and you name it. And it was just such a lovely thing to have on the table. So I will tell you a little bit more about the food when we come back after the break.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show, and I was discussing the wedding and the food and all the yummy and delicious food that we ate at the on the night of the wedding. And of course, she, Merle, certainly kept her energy levels up because people danced. I think from 5:30 in the afternoon to 1:30. And, of course, the next day was Erev Shabbos. So I didn't get much sleep because, I had to get up and get prepared, of course, for the Shabbos meal. And there must have been 80 odd people coming for supper, because remember, So many people, over 40 people had come out from London. So obviously, you know, Shabbos was at us. And with the help and family, with family and friends, we were able to put together a dinner for about 80. Okay, so my mother and father would have probably done a somersault in their graves knowing that I was using plastic knives and forks, tinfoil oil and paper and plastic cups. But you know what? When you're in your own home, it's a different thing. But when you go into somebody else's home, you're kosher, it's actually quite convenient just to hop down the road, go to Checkers in Seapoint and I think Spa, whatever it's called, and you can get the most incredible things. And the people at Checkers were amazing. A big shout out to them. They made us beautiful ice cream. So we put the ice creams onto platters and mint around it. They made us some salads. Of course, I made a potato salad. It's actually quite easy. You just cut your microwave and make potato salad, make sweet corn salad, you know, that corn one with the chopped onion and mayonnaise. Oh, that flew. If I'd made 6 bags of that, I think that would have also flown. But actually, I got the chicken from them. I got some nice rotisserie chickens. And, we received 12 free challahs with our chickens. And we had a wonderful Friday night, and it was terrific, and there was lots to eat. And then, of course, Shabbos Day gave us some time to chill out, catch up a little. But, you know, kids are hungry, so people are coming in and out for food all the time. And then, of course, Sunday came, the saddest part of the Simcha, and we had to say goodbye to all the overseas family and friends. And well, what can I say? You know what it's like when family come out for Simchas. But one thing they did beg me for was on Friday night, what I did was I'd cooked during the week and frozen some meat for the Friday night Shabbos. And I did some pulled beef because I think that's, you know, you never know where people stand with teeth, etc. So the easiest thing, the softest thing to make is pulled beef. So I took a 2.5 to 3 kilo shoulder bolo. You could use side bolo. You don't have to use as much, obviously, but this was for a lot of people. You could use brisket, fresh brisket, or something that you can actually pull apart quite easily with a fork. I mean, you could a shoulder of lamb, something like that, that you can just pull apart, and it was so easy. All I did was I just fried the meat on all sides just to get nice and brown. And then I combined together a hot cup of chutney, because I find that if it's not hot, it can be a little bit too sweet. 1/2 cup of tomato paste, not tomato sauce, it's too sweet. 1/2 cup of tomato paste, 1 tablespoon of mustard powder, 1 packet of onion soup. We can get that at Pick and Pay. I think it's called Imama. It's the power of one. 1 teaspoon of crushed garlics, a little bit of salt and pepper, which I obviously put on the meat before I cooked it. And 2 to maybe 3 cups of red wine. You'll see how you go. You know how big your meat is. And stuck that on the stove, brought it all to the boil because I like the alcohol to sort of reduce a little bit. And threw it over the meat, stuck it in the chollen pot, and I just left it the whole day to cook. And that was it. Let it cool down, stuck it into my tinfoil containers, double wrapped it, and off we went to Cape Town. So that was easy enough to have that, pulled beef. And chicken time came. Of course, everybody loves to have chicken, especially my husband. You have to have cold chicken on Shabbos. Well, we bought quite a few chickens in Cape Town, which went down very well. And just a quick and easy recipe that I'd like to share with you, because we did it, you know, obviously everybody came back to Johannesburg. And I made two barbecue ready-made cooked chickens. a lot of parsley for decor, the flat leaf parsley. If you want to add a little more chicken spice, then do so. You know, you can add a little bit of onion salt, a little bit of garlic salt, and I cut it up into portions. Ask your butcher to cut it up into portions. And I used 2 cups of Bachsberg Pinotage. And those are South African grapes, so the overseas visitors that were still here really appreciated that. And I placed the chicken, already cooked. It's a very quick, simple meal. Placed the chicken in a pot, covered it with wine, let it boil out. Then I added a cup of chicken stock liquid and 1 cup of non-dairy creamer. And don't be nervous with the sauce. If you want to add a little bit more sauce, it's lovely. But I think what really gives it such a lovely feel is just throw fresh parsley all over it. And it's a simple, quick and easy meal, of course, for Friday night or whenever. I also had to make them a pickled brisket. And what I did was, because I wanted to make it sort of more African, I used an apricot glazed smoked brisket. So get about 2 kilos of pickled brisket from your butcher. And all I did was I took a 400 gram tin of the chunky apricot jam, 1/4 cup of lemon juice, and 1 teaspoon of Marmite. Mixed it all together and just suck it in my, you see, I love my crock pot, but you can stick it in the oven if you want to, on very low, because remember, brisket is a low and slow kind of meal to eat. And that was it. And we had that brisket that I was able to actually cut up into pieces. But if you leave it longer, you can have that as pulled beef as well. So I think we're going to a break, did you say, Craig? So we're going to a break, and then I'm going to tell you another little story when we get back.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
For the gift of the year for your loved one, contact Piguet Khan Jewelers, Thrupp Center in Illovo. They specialize in creating jewelry that is truly unique and customized. Extensive diamond and gemstone knowledge enables Piguet Khan Jewelers to advise their clients on the best possible purchase. Call John Piguet or Rail Khan today on 011-268-0418. Go to www.pigekhan.co.za. PIGUETKAHN.co.za.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show, and thank you for joining me. It is 11:20, and we're now going into some exciting recipes. So, a friend of mine came up from Israel, from England, from London, and she bought me the most amazing book. Now, I did try and get hold of the author, but I wasn't able to. It's called Tel Aviv, Food, People, Stories, A Culinary Journey with Neni. Okay. I started reading this book. I could not put it down. It is just the most fantastic book. It's got some recipes in it. But the most exciting thing about it is that you're actually taken on a journey through Tel Aviv and to all the different and amazing restaurants that you can go to, whether it's a little hole in the wall, whether it's a warehouse, no matter what. What happened, basically, it is the lovely hard-covered book that, and the story goes like this, that Chaya, who married the famous mime artist, what did he say, Sammy Malko. Okay, Sammy Malko, and they had 4 sons. Okay, so she and her 4 sons, Nadev, Elior, Nuriel, and Ilan, decided to open up. Do you see where the name comes from? Neni, Nadeva, Eli, Nuril and Ilan, they decided they're going to open up a restaurant. So if London has Ottolenghi and Paris has Mizan and Jerusalem, Machne Yehuda, then Vienna has Neni. So it was founded in March 2009, so it was about 11 years ago, by the indefatigable Chaya Malko, and boy, there's no fatigue in that word for her and her sons. And Neni became the go-to restaurant in Vienna for eclectic Israeli and Middle Eastern cuisine. So with Neni, the Malkas also became pioneering in introducing a kaleidoscope of Israeli palate to Austrian audiences while transforming Vienna's historic but slightly staid Naschmarkt, which was a traditional market into a gastronomic hotspot. And they have done the most incredible thing there. So what they did was they decided to go back to Tel Aviv, the colorful, cosmopolitan and modern Tel Aviv, a city full of, how do I say it, contrasts and fragrances. I get so excited. Stories and flavors. And, of course, a vibrant melting pot of cultures, religions and delicious culinary dishes and traditions. So they take you on, in this book, they take you on a tour to all the wonderful and different restaurants and little holes in the walls and all the famous places that most people haven't heard about. And I decided, you know what, I'm actually going to share some of these wonderful recipes with you. So off I went on a journey with Chaya to all these wonderful restaurants, and I will share some of it's not only about the restaurant, it's the most incredible stories about the people, about where they came from, how, you know, there was one particular guy who was in jail and how he found himself and opened this incredible restaurant. And so, as I say, it was a book that I couldn't put down. So I've decided after this song that I'm going to share some of these wonderful recipes from some of these amazing restaurants with you.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show, and thank you for joining me as I take you on a little journey through Tel Aviv, food, people, stories. It's a book you have to get. You will love it. You can read it every Shabbos, read about 10 pages of it. And it's a culinary journey with Neni. Now, I'm sure most of you know about Neni, and they have opened up so many restaurants all over the world. But they decided that they wanted to go back to Israel, and they wanted to just taste things. And they got hold of Kobi Rubin, who is a taxi driver and a food blogger. So if you want to, you go onto his site, Kobi Rubin, and you will see he's really posted some amazing things. And all the different restaurants that they went to. Now, there is one particular restaurant, and I can't laugh me, find out what it's called. Oh, it's the Dalal Bakery. Okay, now, this is a recipe. I don't know how they got the recipes out of these people, because sometimes it's so difficult to get recipes out of restaurateurs. But this is Sesame number 3, it's called. Sesame recipe. It is a dessert for 4 people. And it sounded absolutely delicious. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to try and make it this Friday night. So what you will need is for the muscovado ice cream, you'll need 2 cups plus a tablespoon of coconut milk. Half a cup of muscovado sugar. You can, you know, that brown soft sugar that I love using. That. Half a cup of Japanese short grain rice. I'm sure you can, it doesn't have to be Japanese, but you can get short grain rice. Okay, you'll need half a cup of sesame seeds. You'll need plain tahina for drizzling. You'll need date syrup for drizzling. You also need about 1.5 ounces, so what's that, 30, 45 grams of halva. And you'll need half a cup of caramelized pecans. Okay, which is easy enough because we can get them, the sugared pecans. So what you do is, for the ice cream, you bring the coconut milk, muscovado sugar, and the rice to the boil in a saucepan. Now, when I had rice, I thought, rice, because I hate rice pudding. But anyway, you cover and you simmer until very soft. So you're going to do that for about 45 minutes. And you stir occasionally so it doesn't stick. Very important. Then you blitz the rice mixture with a hand blender or stick it in a liquidizer. And you make it as smooth as paste that you possibly can. And you pass it through a fine sieve. Then you pour it into an ice cream maker and process until creamy. Now, if you don't have an ice cream maker, don't worry. I'm going to give you a little tip just now. Then you dry roast the sesame seeds in a small frying pan over medium heat until golden brown. And you just leave it to cool. Scatter the roasted sesame seeds on the serving plates. Place one scoop of ice cream on each plate and drizzle with tahina and date syrup. Mm, doesn't that sound delicious? Add halva and pecans and serve it immediately. This dish is the result of a search for a vegan dessert for the restaurants of the 25 Hours hotel chain. Okay, and we experimented a great deal during this time to create an ice cream with an especially creamy consistency. Long cooked rice was the solution. So I take back my words about rice pudding there. But a tip from Chaya. Oh, by the way, talking about these 25-hour hotel chains, that my friend that gave it to me said to me that what they've done is they have now actually all the, this hotel chain, the Nenni Group, are in charge of their restaurants now. So that's really interesting. And if you don't have an ice cream maker, you can pour the ice cream mixture into a freezer proof container and freeze it. Give it a good stir every 30 minutes or every 30 minutes or so with a fork, and the consistency is then similar to that of the Italian granita. The amounts called for are enough for more than 4 portions, but the mixture is simply easier to work with this way. And you'll also have ice cream on hand to snack on. So if you don't want to have any leftover, half the amounts given, or just eat it all up. I think I'll just eat it all up. Now, don't forget, as I've always said, if you, the smoother you want your ice cream to be, the more times you have to hand blend it or mix it with a fork so that you get that real smoothness. And she says, Chaya says, it's best to use string halva. This is often available at kosher food shops or Israeli groceries. If you are only able to find whole halva, crumble it between your fingers to make this dessert. Well, from something so delicious and sweet, I think we should go to something a little more savory. Okay, so we are going to go to glazed short ribs. Now, short ribs have become very, very popular. And this is for 4 people as a main dish. And for the meat, you'll need, wait for this, 1 cup plus 2 tablespoons of sea salt, 1.5 cups of sugar, and about, a kilo and a half of beef short ribs without the bone. So that's that top flap taken off. Or get a little bit more if you want it with bones in. Yeah, sometimes the bones do make the meat sweeter. Now, for the glaze, you need 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, 2 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon of white miso paste. Okay, you can get it at most of the shops now, the miso paste. 3 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon of harissa, which you can get. I think the company Spice make it. Or make up your own harissa. I mean, that's quite easy to make. If you want to, I can tell you how to make a quick harissa. Afterwards, I'll let you know how to do it. You'll need 3 tablespoons of pickled lemons and 3 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon olive oil. You'll also need 3 carrots, 2 small cucumbers, 1 red onion, 1 lime, a little bit of cayenne pepper, 1 fresh red chili, 3/4 cup of squash harissa, and several sprigs of cilantro. Now, it all sounds like, oh my God, how am I going to get through that recipe? I will put it up on the site. But for the meat, you mix together the salt and sugar in a large bowl. And you add the meat and thoroughly massage it in with the salt and the sugar mixture and cover it with plastic wrap and leave it overnight in the refrigerator. I suppose that sort of makes it sweet and sour. Anyway, preheat the oven to 340. You wash the meat, so that's about 180. You wash the meat and thoroughly blot dry with a paper towel. Okay, don't forget to wash the meat. And then you blot it with a paper towel and you place it in an oven-proof dish and you cover it with foil and you roast it in the oven for about 3 hours. Meanwhile, for the glaze, blitz all the ingredients with a stick blender or liquidizer, and you blend it just to make a lovely paste. You peel the carrots and you cut it into thin strips. Cut the cucumber into thin strips as well. Peel the onion and cut it into half rings. Cut the lime into wedges. De-seed the pepper and chili as desired. And increase oven temperature to about 425, which is a little bit more than 200, and remove the meat, brush with the glaze, and then return to the oven for about another 5-10 minutes. Remove from the oven and carefully pull the meat from the bone if you haven't got a regular flap. And you serve the meat with some squash with a little bit of harissa paste and vegetable sticks, pepper, cilantro, whatever. And Chaya says that what she likes to do is, I like to put all the ingredients on the table separately so that everyone can build their own individual sandwich. And as we go to an ad break, I'll come back with another, I think, a sweet recipe after the savory one.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Now we get back to pickled lemons, which are actually quite easy to make. Just get, I would say, about 10 lemons, small lemons, 1/3 cup of salt, 1/2 cup of sugar and olive oil, and cut the lemons into quarters, I would say, and just mash them down in a large bowl and mix them lemon slices with salt and sugar. And you just leave it for about 48 hours, stirring. You can stir it twice a day, but these last forever. And actually, they are very, very popular, even though pickled lemons are found in many, many culinary traditions. Their roots are in Morocco. So, it's always good to have some of that lemon juice, pickled lemons. Okay, you can also make a lemon pesto, but let's just leave it at pickled lemon, because I want to share something with you that somebody said to me. Please, Sharon, if there's one thing, my friend said, please give out this recipe in the book from Ruti Brodo. I mean, apparently she's a household name in Israel, and she does these marinated anchovies. So you will need 12 fresh anchovies. Now, I know you can get them frozen at some places. Just defrost them. Little sea salt. You don't need much. One lemon, 4 garlic cloves, 1 bird's eye chili. That's a hot one. 5 sprigs of thyme, or you can use 2 teaspoons of dried thyme. 3 quarters of a cup plus 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. You'll also need a handful of cherry tomatoes, sea salt, olive oil, lemon juice, fennel greens to garnish, and 2 tablespoons of green aioli. Okay, so I'm going to give you the green aioli recipe first, because that is, wow, that's delicious. And that can actually go on so many different things. It can actually, I think if it doesn't have fish, it can go on meat. Let me just find that green aioli sauce for you. It's a cup of grapeseed oil, or I suppose you could use any oil, but she says grapeseed, 1/2 cup plus 1 teaspoon of olive oil, 2 garlic cloves, a little bit of cayenne pepper, 1/2 teaspoon, 1 whole egg, 1 egg yolk, 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt, a flat leaf parsley, just like about a sprig or two, 1 teaspoon lime juice, and 1 teaspoon red wine vinegar. And just mix it all together. And there you have, blend it with your stick blender, and there you have this beautiful green aioli sauce, which you can actually put on to scotch fillet if you feel like. But let me tell you about these marinated anchovies. Okay, so what we do is we rinse the anchovies well and carefully blot dry inside and out. Measure out the salt at 1 tablespoon for every 3.5 ounces of anchovies. So that's for every 100 grams. And spread over a baking tray. Place the anchovies on the salt and skin side down, and you chill that for 2 hours. Now, I know people who love anchovies go crazy for this. Halve the lemon lengthwise and cut into thin slices. Peel and finely chop the garlic. De-seed the chili and cut into thin strips. Pluck the thyme leaves from the stems. Mix everything together with the olive oil and the lemon juice, and lay the anchovies in the marinade and chill for at least 12 hours. Now, I am going to put it up so you don't have to get nervous, but it is a lovely, lovely starter. And then you actually take some lovely fresh bread and you just dunk it into the lemon and oil. So you make a crisscross cut in the skin on the bottom of each cherry tomato. Bring salted water with 1 teaspoon of salt for every liter of water to the boil in a saucepan, and you add the tomatoes, blanch for a minute, just count to 60, and immediately immerse the tomatoes in cold water, and you'll see and that the skin will just come off quite easily, and carefully squeeze the seeds from the tomatoes and set aside. Remove the anchovies from the marinade, rinse again, and blot dry. Arrange on plates with skin side down, up, and drizzle with a generous amount of olive oil and a bit of lemon juice. Garnish with the lovely tomato seeds, skin cherry tomatoes, fennel greens, and a few drops of green aioli sauce, which I told you how to make earlier. And as I said, you serve it with a crisp baguette, and it's absolutely delicious. Have I got time? Yes, I still have time to, now that you've eaten something nice and salty. How about pineapple carpaccio with coconut ice cream? Okay, so this serves 6 people. I can't remember. Caramelized onion is actually a classic at one of their Nini restaurants. It's a classic dessert. And this variant is a kind of edible pina colada. Okay, so it's paper-thin slices of the sweet pineapple are combined with coconut ice cream with a few drops of fresh fruity olive oil acting as a flavor bridge between the two. And the chili threads give this dish a special kind of kick. So I'm going to give you this easy recipe now. For the pineapple carpaccio, one large untreated pineapple, about a kilo, after it's been peeled. And then 2/3 plus 1 tablespoon of sugar, 3 tablespoons of rum, grated zest of 1 untreated lime, grated zest of 1 untreated orange. We have to, when they say untreated, they mean, it's probably been sprayed, so we would probably have to, we would wash ours in a little bit of soap and water. 1 tablespoon natural vanilla extract, or use the seeds of 1 vanilla bean mixed with 1 tablespoon of rum, 2 tablespoons of lime juice. And for the ice cream, 1/3 plus 1.5 tablespoons of milk, 1/3 cup of shredded coconut, 1 cup plus 1 tablespoon, oh, and she really, I really loves her, plus 1 tablespoon of this, plus 1 tablespoon of that. Anyway, 1 cup and 1 tablespoon of coconut milk, 1/3 cup plus 1 teaspoon of sugar, 2 eggs, chili threads. Okay, so chili threads would be very thinly cut chili and a little bit of olive oil. And when I come back from the break, I'm going to teach you how to make pineapple carpaccio with coconut ice cream.
You're listening to the SM Present Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the Essence Fresno Show, and we are talking about pineapple carpaccio with coconut ice cream. Now, for the carpaccio, you've got to preheat your oven to about 180, peel the pineapple, reserving the peel. Very important, keep the peel. Cut out the black eyes of the peeled pineapple in a spiral fashion. If you know how to do that, you know, I've seen them cut in beautiful spiral fashion where you don't, and it looks lovely when it's finished, sort of like a, similar to a screw. But anyway, place the pineapple peel in a saucepan, bring to the boil with 1/4 cup of sugar, the rum, and 6 cups of water, and simmer that for about 15 minutes, and you strain and keep that sauce. Mix 1/2 cup of sugar with citrus zest and spread out on a large plate. Brush the pineapple with the vanilla extract, then roll in sugar zest mixture so that the fruit is well coated on all sides. Those who like it really sweet can stir the remaining sugar into the sauce. Then you place the pineapple upright in an oven-proof saucepan and pour the strained sauce over the top. Bake for about 1.5 to 2 hours in the oven, basting with the liquid about every 10, 15 minutes. So you really got to keep an eye on this one so that it caramelizes. If the liquid evaporates, heat a little bit of, take a little bit of boiling water with some sugar and just pour a little bit over the pineapple. Remove from the oven, leave to cool and cut into paper thin slices. Save any juices and mix with lime juice. Now, while the pineapple is in the oven, going through its whole little procedure for 1.5 to 2 hours, while the pineapple's in the oven, begin the ice cream. Bring the milk to the boil in a saucepan with the shredded coconut. Remove from the heat and leave for about 30 minutes. Then puree in a blender for 3 minutes and make a smooth, smooth liquid, and you set it aside. In a medium-sized saucepan, you heat the coconut milk along with 3 tablespoons of sugar, and you can check this with a temperature thermometer. Bring it to about 165 degrees Fahrenheit. And you beat the remaining 3 tablespoons of sugar with the egg yolks until foamy. Add the egg yolk into the mixture to the coconut, add the egg yolk mixture to the coconut milk and you whisk it constantly over very low heat until thick and creamy. Take care that the temperature doesn't exceed 175 as you may get scrambled eggs. The cream is ready if you can make a wavy pattern in it by blowing on a small amount of cream on the back of a wooden spoon. In cooking jargon, this is called blowing a rose. Stir the pureed coconut into the still warm egg mixture until the two components are well blended, then pass through a fine meshed sieve and churn it in an ice cream maker. Or, as before I said to you, if you don't have an ice cream maker, then just keep blending it with your hand blender until it's lovely and smooth. Arrange the pineapple slices on plates and drizzle the pineapple lime juice. Place one scoop of ice cream in the middle and garnish it with the chili threads if you want. Add a few drops of olive oil. And that is a beautiful pineapple carpaccio with coconut ice cream, which I have been told if I don't make this Shabbos, then it was no point in receiving the book. Now, if I were you, I would go out and I would buy this book. It is absolutely beautiful. As I said, it is Tel Aviv, Food, People, Stories, A Culinary Journey with Neni. And what a journey this is. I've really enjoyed it. So far I've read three quarters and it's just such beautiful stories of beautiful restaurants, how they started, how people started just by themselves and what they've done and how they've built these empires today. And just regular you and I kind of people can do it. We really can. So I've come to an end, and it's a Eat and Meet that makes this show complete. Thank you for joining me. It's been a wonderful day.